From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
And welcome to Capitol Connection, where we are bringing the Capitol to you every week from the Nebraska Family Alliance studio in Lincoln, covering the issues that matter most, family, freedom, and life. We've got a great show today, a lot to get to, starting with recognizing Constitution Day and its significance, as well as covering some deeply troubling news regarding international religious freedom and positive developments on how Nebraska's congressional delegation is stepping up to protect religious liberties here in the United States. But first, we have an important update on Judge Kavanaugh's confirmation to the United States Supreme Court. This past week, the Senate Judiciary Committee had scheduled a vote, as expected, for confirming Judge Kavanaugh and advancing him on for a full vote in the United States Senate. He first has to come out of committee. And also, as expected, Senate Democrats on the committee delayed that vote. They are able to procedurally delay that vote by 1 week. So the vote was supposed to happen this past Thursday. Democrats have forced it to be rescheduled for this upcoming Thursday. On September 20th is when the committee is scheduled to make their vote, where all signs point to a purely party line vote, but Republicans hold the majority on that committee, and Judge Kavanaugh is expected to make it out of committee and to have a vote before the entire United States Senate. And there's been some really deceitful last-minute attempts by Democrat senators using purely anonymous sources to try and smear Judge Kavanaugh at the last minute. But again, this has not yet delayed the process that is expected to unfold now, with a vote in the Judiciary Committee for Judge Kavanaugh this upcoming Thursday. And all reports seem to indicate that the Judiciary Committee will advance his nomination to the entire United States Senate. And this is where Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell comes into play and has played an extremely crucial role in getting judges confirmed. Mitch McConnell has said that the Senate will vote on Judge Kavanaugh's nomination the last week of September. This is in time for the start of the next Supreme Court term on October 1st. So this will continue to be big news in the coming weeks, as Judge Kavanaugh is expected to be voted out of committee this upcoming Thursday, and then a full vote in the United States Senate before the month is over. We'll continue to cover this, because this nomination and likely confirmation of Judge Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court really provides an opportunity to change the trajectory of our nation on some of the most important issues facing our society and culture today, many of which stemming whether or not, as a country, we will continue to uphold or undermine constitutional freedoms. Which brings us to the significance and importance of Monday, September 17th, Constitution Day in the United States, the federal observance that recognizes the adoption of the United States Constitution on every September 17th. Why do we do this? Why do we celebrate the Constitution? Well, the law establishing the present holiday was created in 2004 with the passage of an amendment by Senator Robert Byrd to a spending bill in 2004. The act mandates that all publicly funded educational institutions and all federal agencies provide educational programming on the history of the American Constitution on that day. But it's about much more than that, just a bill establishing this law. It's important that we do recognize the Constitution and teach it to younger generations, because there are many unique aspects to the United States Constitution that have made it the oldest and shortest written constitution in the world. And today seems like an appropriate time to highlight some important facts about the United States Constitution that every American should know, starting with the fact that our Constitution is unique at its core, because it doesn't grant citizens their rights. It recognizes that our rights come from God, not government, and government is to secure those rights. That is the very basis and foundation of the U.S. Constitution. And here are some more fast facts on the United States Constitution. It was written in the same Pennsylvania State House where the Declaration of Independence was signed and where George Washington received his commission as commander of the Continental Army, now called Independence Hall. The building still stands today in Philadelphia, directly across from the National Constitution Center. And although the Constitution was signed on September 17th in 1787, it wasn't until 1788 that it was actually ratified by the necessary 9 states. The U.S. Constitution was also prepared in secret, and some of the original framers to the Constitution were very troubled and had concerns that the original Constitution lacked a description of individual rights. So in 1791, that is when Americans added a list of rights to the Constitution, which the first 10 being known as the Bill of Rights. Of the 55 delegates attending the Constitutional Convention, 39 signed and 3 delegates dissented. And interestingly, 2 of America's foremost founding fathers didn't add their name to the Constitution. Both Thomas Jefferson and John Adams were abroad when the Constitution was signed, representing the United States in France, and John Adams was doing the same over in Great Britain at the time. And at 81 years old, Benjamin Franklin was the oldest delegate at the Constitutional Convention, and at 26, Jonathan Dayton of New Jersey was the youngest. And as I mentioned, the U.S. Constitution, of all written national constitutions, which is in itself rare, that most people don't realize that we actually have a written constitution, it is also the oldest and the shortest. However, more than 11,000 amendments have been introduced in Congress to amend the United States Constitution. Only 33 of those have gone to the states to be ratified, and 27 have received the necessary approval from the states to actually become amendments to the Constitution. So there are some fast facts on the U.S. Constitution in recognition of Constitution Day. But most importantly, what we need to be teaching and recognizing about the Constitution is that what it has established in our country is that government exists to secure the rights granted by our Creator, not to coerce citizens into violating their conscience or to silence those who disagree. No, our Constitution says that we have inalienable rights granted by our Creator, not the state. And the founders understood this. They recognized that one of government's primary tasks is to preserve the freedom for each person to follow his or her own conscience. So they enshrined certain fundamental rights in our nation's Constitution to guarantee this freedom. As I've heard it said before, America didn't create religious liberty. Religious liberty created America. It's the key principle on which our country was founded. This critical freedom gives everyone the right to live by the dictates of their own conscience, and in a society of great diversity and tolerance, should be secured by our government, not threatened. Because a government that can regulate and force you to violate your own conscience is a government that can do anything. Case in point, with Jack Phillips, the Christian cake baker in Colorado, that's what was on the line. Some people still, including the Colorado Civil Rights Commission, who set this whole thing off, still don't recognize this. They see it just as a cake. Why don't you just bake the cake? It's not a big deal. Or you should have to bake the cake because it's wrong and it's discrimination for you to decline to make a custom cake celebrating a same-sex marriage. Well, there are so many parallels to this. I mean, imagine if a liberal cake baker was asked to bake a cake celebrating the NRA or celebrating President Trump. That actually happened in California, where multiple bakeries refused to make a cake that was pro-Donald Trump. So it's about much more than just baking a cake. It's about not being forced to violate your beliefs and not being forced to promote speech or participate in events that you don't agree with. That is fundamental to the United States of America, that we do not force everyone to agree, and we certainly do not force speech. And in Jack's case, just like every other one of these cases, it's not about denying someone because of who they are as a person or how they identify. It's about the message that they are being asked to convey or to participate in. And that's an important distinction that we have to recognize. Thankfully, the Supreme Court got that right when they ruled 7-2 in favor of Jack Phillips, and yet he finds himself in trouble with the Colorado Civil Rights Commission again, despite them just being on the losing end of that 7-2 decision, this time for declining to make a custom cake designed to celebrate a gender transition. Again, this one is even worse. It was basically someone who had intentionally been trolling Jack Phillips with all sorts of outlandish requests, knowing that he would not bake that particular cake to set him up. And the Colorado Civil Rights Commission either fell for it or gladly slapped him with another violation. But this time, Jack and our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom are going on the offensive to make sure that the state of Colorado cannot continue to discriminate against Jack or to treat him poorly and hostily because of his religious beliefs. And that is what the United States Supreme Court has made very clear that they cannot do. And this is about more than just cakes or about weddings. When we're talking about religious freedom and it's significant, this matters because we also know that civil liberties travel together. When you look at countries that don't have religious freedom, they also don't have freedom of the press or free speech or the right to bear arms or gender equality and so on. This is because when you don't protect the free exercise of religion, all other freedoms crumble. And tragically, we are watching this unfold right now in China and many other parts of the world. But this past week, Chinese officials closed and confiscated Bibles from the largest house church in Beijing, and now that church is banned. According to a Fox News report this past week, Chinese officials are actually literally burning Bibles, closing down churches, and forcing Christians to denounce their faith amidst what is being described as an escalating crackdown on Christianity and other minority religions in China. This attack on religious freedom is part of an official campaign demanding loyalty to the atheist Communist Party in China and their attempt to remove any potential challenge to the party's power in that country. Unfortunately, the persecution of Christians in China is nothing new, but experts and activists say that the Chinese government is now waging the most severe suppression of Christianity in the country since religious freedoms were granted by the Chinese Constitution in 1982. Again, this is the difference of the Constitution that we have in the United States and why we should celebrate it and teach our youth about how it has helped make our country the place that we are today, where we have the guaranteed freedom of religion and how that helps uphold and protect other freedoms as well, including for those who don't consider themselves religious. And according to Chinese laws, again, they supposedly do have religious freedom rights in China, but under Chinese laws, religious believers are allowed to worship only in government-sanctioned congregations. This obviously is a problem for the many millions of Christians who belong to underground churches or house churches that ignore these government regulations so they can worship freely and have true freedom of religion. And this new anti-religion campaign taking place in China is not only affecting Christian denominations. Around 1 million people who belong to Muslim minority groups in China have also been detained, including some even in indoctrination camps where they are forced to denounce Islam and profess loyalty to the Communist Party. And officials in China are writing this off as education and wanting to educate people. But the consequences of this are severe. China has around approximately 38 million Protestants, and some experts have predicted that the country will have the world's largest Christian population in a few decades. And Senator Marco Rubio of Florida actually talked about this and highlighted this specific issue. He said in a tweet that he sent out last week, "Imagine what life would be like for our children if they inherit a world in which the most powerful country is one that burns Bibles, ransacks Christian churches, and rounds up and detains Muslims in internment camps, because that is what China is doing." That's why we have to keep fighting to protect religious freedom in the United States, because if we lose religious freedom here, it will be lost throughout the world. And for many of us, the idea that you could be arrested and jailed for being a part of a house church is hard to imagine, but that's the exact threat facing millions of believers across the world. And look, it's certainly true that the threats to religious freedom in the United States are much different than many parts of the world where holding certain beliefs gets you imprisoned, tortured, or killed. So in light of that, how can we not fight to protect religious freedom here when the consequences of doing so are right now much less severe than in most of the world? That's what we're fighting for at Nebraska Family Alliance. We believe every American has the right to live and work according to their sincerely held beliefs. It's one of the principles on which our country was founded, enshrined in our Constitution. And this right to religious freedom must include faith-based adoption agencies who have been under attack here in the United States for operating according to their sincerely held beliefs. This is what I'm talking about. This isn't, the level of persecution, certainly, that is happening in China and in other places around the world. But here in the United States, faith-based child welfare agencies, adoption agencies, foster care agencies, they have been forced to close down in various parts across the country simply for operating their organization according to their religious beliefs about marriage and seeking to place children who need a home into families who have a traditional family structure, a married mother and father. And they've operated this way within the law, according to their convictions, as they are rightfully allowed to do, for over 100 years. And this is a crucial issue. Faith-based child welfare agencies provide an invaluable service to our society, finding loving homes for children. And so right now, there is actually a bill in Congress to protect these faith-based agencies from any adverse action by the state called the Child Welfare Provider Inclusion Act. And we are really happy to report that every single member of Nebraska's congressional delegation has signed their name as a co-sponsor to this legislation. This is one of the most important bills for family, freedom, and life. It touches each three of those areas. It is currently awaiting a vote in Congress, but every single member of Nebraska's congressional delegation has stepped up to support it. United States Senators Deb Fischer and Ben Sasse and Congressman Jeff Fortenberry, Don Bacon, and Adrian Smith have all added their names as co-sponsors to this legislation, and that is a great sign that our representatives in Washington, D.C. understand the issue and importance of religious freedom. And I know Nebraska Family Alliance is extremely grateful that they have stepped up to support this legislation. We are extending our thanks and gratitude for them for doing so and encouraging constituents to do the same. Because this isn't an easy issue. The left has really come after these faith-based adoption agencies and any legislators or politicians who support them for being anti-LGBT, even though this legislation, the Child Welfare Provider Inclusion Act, only seeks to protect faith-based foster care and adoption agencies from adverse action by the government. It does not prohibit anyone from adopting or fostering children. And unfortunately, in multiple places around the country, state and local laws have forced these agencies to either abandon their convictions about placing kids in traditional families or shut down altogether. It's happened in Massachusetts, Illinois, Washington, D.C., and parts of California. They have all been forced to close their doors, which is bad for children because it is leaving fewer adoption agencies working to find loving, forever homes for children. And so that's why Congress has been considering this bill in response to what's been happening across the country. We want to ensure that the federal and state governments cannot discriminate against faith-based adoption and foster care providers. This is especially important for Nebraska and why I'm so glad that all of our federal representatives out in Washington, D.C. are supporting this bill, because in Nebraska, our state legislature failed to pass similar legislation that would protect these faith-based agencies 2 years ago. In 2016, It was a bill that would provide the same protections to our faith-based agencies here in Nebraska at the state level, and that bill could not overcome a filibuster. You need 33 votes in the Nebraska legislature, and we were a few short. However, during that process with the bill of going through the committee hearing and floor debate on that proposed legislation, it became very clear that significant hostility does in fact exist towards these faith-based agencies in Nebraska. So if they are not protected by this federal legislation, our agencies in Nebraska are still vulnerable and open to facing serious consequences and negative adverse action from the government or from bureaucracy because of their convictions and how they operate according to their religious beliefs. And certainly I think that the same faith that compels these faith-based agencies to serve children in need deserves to be protected, not threatened. We believe that every American has the right to live and work according to their deeply held beliefs, and this must include our faith-based foster care and adoption agencies. So if you would please join Nebraska Family Alliance in thanking members of Nebraska's congressional delegation for co-sponsoring the Child Welfare Provider Inclusion Act, you can visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. We have all of the information on this right on the homepage. This is an important opportunity to show our support and appreciation for when our representatives are stepping up to do the right thing amidst attacks and criticism to support and protect religious freedom. It's important that they hear from citizens across Nebraska and know that this is an issue that we care deeply about and when we want to encourage them and the work that they are doing to protect constitutional liberties. So again, you can visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org for all of that information and join NFA in thanking our congressional delegation for supporting the Child Welfare Provider Inclusion Act. And while you're there, be sure you stop and purchase tickets for Nebraska Family Alliance's 30th anniversary gala coming up on October 26th at the Embassy Suites in Lincoln. This is shaping up to be the social conservative event of the year in Nebraska. There is a stellar lineup of speakers, religious freedom heroes. Jack Phillips, who we talked about earlier on the show, he will be there. Barnell Stutzman, owner of Arlene's Flowers, whose legal battle is still ongoing over her right to live and work according to her deeply held beliefs and fighting for your right as well. She will be there. And we just announced last week that former fire chief of Atlanta, Kelvin Cochran, who was fired by the city of Atlanta for writing a Christian devotional book for men with his own money on his own time, will be joining us as well. It's going to be inspiring. It'll be fun, and we hope that you will join us. We will be celebrating 30 years with Everyday Heroes, and we hope that you will be a part of that celebration. So again, you can visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org for all of the event information and to purchase tickets, and we really look forward to celebrating with you on Friday, October 26th in Lincoln. That's going to be all the time we have for today's show. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance, hoping you will join us again next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.